Welcome back. Mark Anthony with us. We're going to be talking about his work, Evidence of Eternity, with you. We'll take your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Mark Anthony with us, Evidence of Eternity. Mark's an attorney, of course, but he's also a psychic. I'm going to ask you, which do you enjoy?
Oh, it's much more fun being a psychic.
It is. A little more, how should I say, people, you probably have clients that think the world of you, too, when you win for them.
Yeah, they do. But what's happened is that the demands for my services as a psychic medium have increased so much that temporarily put my law practice on hold because I'm about to embark on a nationwide book tour.
Are you coming out to L.A. at all?
I am. I'm going to be out in L.A. hopefully in the next couple weeks. We're working on things.
All right. I'll be out here. What about St. Louis? Are they in the mix?
St. Louis. It'll be back in St. Louis. Looks like Pittsburgh, Denver, right. Atlanta. My Facebook page will be announcing all of that. And if people want to go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com, you can follow, there's an icon there to follow me on Facebook, and also my calendar of events will have that as well. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. And, one of the reasons I wrote Evidence of Eternity was when I was on the book tour for Never Letting Go, so many people were asking me questions about, do animals have souls? Is reincarnation real? What's the other side like? What happens when I die? Is there a God? So what I started doing is compiling these questions and then doing my research both through external means and through spirit contact. And that was the genesis, if you will, for Evidence of Eternity, because trying to portray this to people in a logical and common sense fashion, where I combine faith and science.
Well, if we can meet up in L.A., I'd love to come to your book signing. So let's see if that's
good. It'd be my honor. And congratulations on the Gaiam TV. I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Yes, it's just beyond belief.
And beyond belief.
That's the TV show.
I think that's wonderful what you're doing. So, yes, we will certainly be in touch.
All right, let's take some calls here. We've got an hour to go, and it will go by quickly. Linda's in Windsor, Canada, my old stomping grounds. Hi, Linda.
Hi, you betcha. And lucky you, Mark, you're going to meet George, which is nice.
I've actually had the privilege of meeting George. We were on a panel of experts at the Pensacola Paracon. Actually.
That was about 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't it?
It was. It was just when Never Letting Go had come out.
That's right.
And
Raymond Moody was with us, I think,
yes,
wasn't he? Yeah.
Raymond Moody, Dave Schrader, who is
our buddy,
one of the hosts here on Coast to Coast a lot, and it was really great.
It's a great bunch of people to be around. Believe me, the energy is fantastic. But I want to thank you, Mark. What you're saying is so true, and you are correct. And why I am saying this, because I've experienced not all, but some, which is so true. There is life after death. My own sister got in touch with me, and believe me, I understood it, and the way it happened was, it was a spiritual happening, but you just know. People do look at you kind of strange, and they think you're way off the bounds there, but thank you for telling people, because today we're too much on the material. We're addressing our material, we're throwing things at our material, and we're forgetting our spiritual, inside of us.
And that's a good point. And Linda, it's a privilege to talk to you because you have had an experience and you recognize it. See, spirits are around us all the time. And the first chapter of my new book is Spiritual Situational Awareness and how we need to be open and aware of that. And it sounds to me like you have a highly developed sense of spiritual situational awareness.
I am thankful for that, and I remain humble. Now, here's my big question, and I've mentioned this to ministers. Why do they not teach like you teach? because what you speak of is in the Bible, and it is proof, and reincarnation, I found scriptures, they're there. Why do they not teach the people on the spiritual side, just like you're doing?
That's a great question. It depends who you talk to. When you get to some of the, you know, extreme and more conservative elements in religions, they tend to shy away from that. Yet I've had discussions with Protestant ministers and Catholic priests about reincarnation and spirituality. So it's there. It's just who you talk to. And some religions are premised on reincarnation and understanding the afterlife. In the West, we tend to question whether or not God exists, whereas in the East, particularly in Hinduism, seeing God is part of your spiritual journey, and phenomenon that we would call psychic activity is considered to be part of one's spiritual journey. And so I think it's nice when some of the other cultures and religions are beginning to interface with us. I think an interfaith approach is very positive. And George, I want to thank you for playing George Harrison on the break.
Sure.
Because George Harrison said something once a quote that really has resonated with me, that all religions are branches of one big tree. And it doesn't matter what you call God, just so long as you call.
That's a good point. Let's take Randy, truck driving in Wyoming, first-time caller. Randy, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, George.
Hi, Randy.
I love your show, man. I listen to it every night. I was just down in Los Angeles, too, and wished I could have been able to stop over to see you.
Would have been great.
Anyway, back in 1986, in 78, me and my wife got in a car accident, and she was 8 months pregnant, and she ended up losing the baby that night, and it was in this hostel in Evanston, Wyoming. Well, they, right after that, they shut it down, made it into a treatment center, and I ended up in that treatment center, and they made the emergency room into a bedroom, and I ended up being in that bedroom. Well, that one night while I was there, I smelt this smell that smelled like burnt toast, and I felt like I was going through this tunnel. And when I emerged out of that tunnel, I had to go find where that toast was coming from, and I went down, my spirit went down to the kitchen, realized there was absolutely nothing going on there. And then I went back through the tunnel, smelt that toast smell, and I believe the smell was your spirit going to your body. And I believe that my feeling is that when you see that tunnel, it's your spirit going to your body, getting out.
Well, that's a good point, and it can be, Mark.
I think that's a really great way of explaining it, Randy, because it makes a lot of sense. I've had spirits explain to me, what it's like to separate from the body. And the way that it's been conveyed to me, because I feel sensations. Randy, have you ever taken one of those little 9-volt batteries, little, you know, square ones, and stuck them on your tongue?
Wow, you can feel the tingle.
You feel the tingle. And that's how spirits communicated to me, that's kind of what it feels like. In other words, there's like this tingly, sparky sensation, and then you separate from the body. And when I started thinking about it, wow, once again, we're back to energy, electricity. I mean, our body, our brain, our heart, our neural network has an energy field. In fact, in a recent edition of the Scientific American, a scientist, a medical doctor / scientist, was explaining that let's say you get an injury on your toe and immediately you feel it. This is moving so quick. It's faster than chemicals can transmit that sensation. It's faster than nerve can transmit it. And the theory now is that each cell has photons in it, which are emitting light. and so that this is happening at light speed. And the really fascinating thing, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Randy, about the light, is that every great spiritual teacher from ancient India through Jesus, through Buddha, through Gandhi, through Mother Teresa, all the way up to Yogananda Paramahansa, have all referred to God in terms of light. And so what we're now seeing is that when people go into the light, what you're perceiving, we think, we believe, I believe, is the spiritual energy of God. And then Jesus even said that the kingdom of God is within. So if we're all cells in the body of God, then from a cellular level, we're emitting light from something as small as a cell all the way up to God. And light is the connection.
And I've got to say, Mark, that people who understand this, I think, are so much more advanced than other people, because not a lot of folks get this. Have you found that out to be the truth?
We're all on our own spiritual journeys, and some people are on different parts of the path. And, you know, it's really easy for some people to say, oh, you're terrible, and I don't believe you, and you're wrong, and all that. And, you know, this isn't about sitting and judging other people's spiritual journeys. We should focus on our own. So when people condemn those of us who study this and do our best to understand this, that's because they're in a different part of their journey, and it is not my place to sit in judgment of anyone.
Well, good for you. We go to Angel in Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Angel, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, George. Excellent, excellent show. Good evening, Mr. Anthony. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Angel. You can call me Mark.
Mark. I feel very honored. I'm a little nervous because there's millions of people listening, but I have a question concerning people that have crossed over. Can they help you from the other side when you have unresolved issues? I actually had a premonition of my mother passing away and didn't know about it. And then the next day she went into a coma and had a cerebral hemorrhage. And I started my spiritual journey. Your book, Never Letting Go, has helped me tremendously. A friend gave it to me because I started suffering from insomnia and I was really in bad shape. And she comes to me in dreams often. She's given me numbers and I called numbers, and it's concerning a legal issue that I have. And I'm just wondering, can they be your guide? Is she trying to help me with, you know, I suffered quite severely in the past 5 years. And so I'm wondering if she's kind of like my angel right now. And George's show has helped me tremendously with, you know, getting information and helping me on my spiritual path. It's just a great show, and I hope people that are listening to know that I thought that I was alone, but you really are never alone. I mean, I feel her. I've had amazing experiences where people have said things like strangers, and I think she'll come and like they'll speak through her. So I'm wondering
You're absolutely correct, Angel. Spirits are around us constantly. And as you understand, I explained that in Never Letting Go and how they reach out from the other side to help us. And in Evidence of Eternity, I take it even farther. In the chapter entitled Frequency Beacons, I explain the energetic link between people living in the material world and spirits on the other side, and how they are aware of what's going on with us. To answer your question, is she acting as a guide? Very possibly. I don't believe that spirits will necessarily intervene to change the course of our life, although that can happen. It is for us to make our own decisions in the world, but they may help guide us to make the decision which is in our best interest. And a lot of times what is in our best interest isn't what we always want. So
right.
it is good. Yeah. So I think that our own individual uniqueness is yet another gift from God, and it is incumbent upon us to learn to make our own decisions. However, it never helps, I mean, never hurts to get spiritual guidance.
Excellent. All right. And where can we get your, is that a new book? I'm sorry, I didn't
brand new
the title.
Yeah, Evidence of Eternity was just released yesterday, and forgive me for the shameless self-promotion, but it's already hit number one in paperback and number two on Amazon's reincarnation bestseller list. I understand it's selling out in bookstores nationwide.
Isn't that exciting?
It's just overwhelming and so humbling. I'm just, all I can say to everybody is thank you so much.
Let's go to Josie now. Josie in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Josie.
Hello, greetings to both of you.
You too, Josie.
My question is about the missing people in the parks that Mr. Pilates has reported
scary.
That are so weird and odd that it's not a person that did it or a criminal. And then there's this missing airplane that everybody's been trying to find and what was going on that would cause it to crash in the first place. And there was an Egyptian airliner some years back, maybe 15 years ago, that off of, I think, Newfoundland crashed. What was going on in that plane that had a lot of Egyptian military men, mm-hmm. I think, that were on that plane.
Yeah, we think the pilot tanked that one, but you're right. Strange things.
You mean on purpose?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was before all the jihad stuff was going on.
Yes, it was just.
But do you think, was he doing jihad or what?
No, he was a troubled pilot, and, he just decided to take a little plunge and.
And take all these people with him. Isn't that a shame?
Yep.
So what was about the other ones where the people are in parks and they're different ages from really small and they're found way
and
high
on
a mountain and could never have gotten there by human means?
I don't know if you're into that, Mark, but let me tell you, it's a strange phenomenon. People disappearing in parks, just gone.
I've heard about that. I haven't done intensive research on that, and I know that there's all sorts of theories that there's a vortex, or maybe they're crossing into a different dimension, or
ETs. Who knows?
Somehow, it's here's the thing, it's Josie, right?
Josie.
We have to keep an open mind. You have to keep an open mind because the one thing I have learned is that there's so much more to life and to the world than what we're capable of physically perceiving.
There's no doubt about that. One of our favorite slogans. Mark, we're going to come back in a moment here with you on Coast to Coast and take final phone calls. Mark Antony with us, Evidence of Eternity. Like he said, that the book is already zoomed up to number one on Amazon.com, and it's selling out of bookstores just like hotcakes. Do hotcakes sell? I don't know. They've always used that phrase. By the way, back to us. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. And please make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can do that by going to coasttocoastam.com. Far right-hand corner, look for the icons and just do what you have to do. Indeed it is. And Mark was mentioning our television program on Beyond Belief. Some incredible fun times there. You can watch the program for a while for free, so take advantage of it. Go to this website, beyondbelief.com. Write it down, easy to remember, www.beyondbelief.com. And we'll be back in a moment with your final calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Mark Antony with us, your final calls as well. Mark, as far as you're concerned with the other side, a lot of people are pet owners, and they're concerned about whether their animals can go to the other side or they have souls. What do you think?
Absolutely, I believe that. And I've conducted thousands of readings, and in so many of them, animals come through. And my theory and my belief is that any being capable of the emotion of love is capable of spirit communication. Because spirit communication is a love-based function. I mean, I've had cats, dogs, horses, birds, bunnies come through. It's just been amazing. And in Evidence of Eternity, I explained what I refer to as interspecies, interdimensional communication. And it's fascinating communicating with animals because it's different than communicating with the spirits of humans. It's a different form of intelligence. I don't buy the saying dumb animals. Animals are not dumb. They simply manifest intelligence differently than we do. And we see, we meaning people who study animals and animal communication, are seeing all types of behaviors that appear to be much more complex than we ever thought. I mean, animals bond with us. It's more than just we're a food source. They bond with us emotionally, vibrationally. And so I wrote a chapter on interspecies, interdimensional communication. And I'd love to tell stories from it, but I want people to enjoy reading them because I spent a lot of time.
Oh, you're such a tease.
Putting these together.
Let's go next to William in Bloomington, Illinois, on the wild card line. William, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mark, and good morning, George.
Hello there.
I will.
I often wondered that if you have the spirits when we die, how and why can't those spirits battle the evil spirits on this planet to put them in check or either try to destroy them or whatever the case may be? But the second thing is, too, that I believe the universe is so complex and so vast and so intricate, I don't think it was put together by chance.
No, you got that right.
Yeah.
But what about the spirits, the good and the bad, Mark?
Well, I kind of think your second question answers your first, because the universe is so complex. And when I was in England working with British mediums, we were talking about negative energies getting in, and I try to refer to them as negative energies or energies that are not necessarily aligned with human spirits. Maybe they're more plant aligned or earth aligned, because there's a lot of intelligent non-human spiritual entities on the other side. And I may be departing with a lot of my colleagues, but I don't necessarily buy the evil spirit philosophy. I think a lot of times when interfacing with these things, we don't understand them, and it evokes an electrical reaction in your body where you get cold chills and tingles, which we immediately assume as being negative because that's the same flight or fight response. But for the sake of discussion, at any one time, you've got your main spirit guide and several other spirits around you that are working with you. In addition to, you can have friends and relatives that are on the other side. You may have some angelic entities there. So at any given moment, everybody has about 50 or 60 spirits around them. If Funky Freddy wants to get in, he's going to have to go through a couple football teams. So I'm not really too worried about things like that. What it comes down to is keep your intention, keep your spirituality positive. If you feel there may be a negative energy around you, envision, but think of, let's give a tribute to Leonard Nimoy. Think of a Star Trek when the transporter comes down, there's a beam of light around mm-hmm. you. Actually envision the beam of light. You can refer to that as the white light of God, the Holy Spirit, positive energy. And let me tell you something, you have nothing to worry about then, because
like
the
that.
Darkest of darkness cannot even stand up to but one flicker from a candle.
We've got Michael now, Long Island, New York. Hey, Michael, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Good evening, George. Hey, how are you?
Good, sir. Thank you.
I just love your show. And to the guest, Mark, I've experienced sometimes, I would say I'm a sometimes medium and can't explain my moods or my feelings, but I'm not in touch with the identity of that spirit.
Right.
And I want to know how, can you control the passage of spirits? And can you actually... I smell, there's a woman and there's a perfume that she wears.
Right.
And
right.
It's unexplainable. But can you control it? Are you that powerful of a psychic?
you know,
and you control
I
the passage?
Wouldn't necessarily say, you know, powerful so much as, let's say that Michael Phelps, when he was 10 years old, probably could swim pretty well, all right? And he needed swimming lessons
right.
to enhance his ability. Same thing. I'm sure Stephen Hawking was really good at doing math when he was 10, but he needed training. And you apparently have ability and feeling the presence. You have to work with it, prayer, meditation, certainly, but there's exercises and things that you can do in spiritual development classes which can help you to refine that ability.
If you think, Mark, that the other side is laden with goodness, there is evil, and you agree with that.
Of course. I mean, just look at the world we live in. I mean,
it sometimes seems that evil is winning. How can that be?
Well, I don't, and that may be departing with a lot of my colleagues, but I don't believe in hell. I do believe in reincarnation, and I believe that hell is here on earth. When you do something negative or evil to another person, it's not because you're acting out of love for that person. You're acting out of a me as center of the universe, me, me, me. And evil, when you look at an organization like ISIL, and I don't want to get all political,
but I mean,
can you think of anything more evil? And they're doing it in the name of God, which is the greatest evil of all. So, yeah, it can appear that evil is winning. On the other hand, what makes the news? You know, what's that old story? A dog bites man, no big deal. Man bites dog, that's news.
Lead
so,
story.
Lead story. When something, quote-unquote, evil happens, that gets more coverage than, beautiful crop of corn this summer.
That's right. See, the lead would be corn formations, right? Crop formations in the cornfields. That's a big story.
Crop formations, mutilated bodies found, film at 11.
Yep, exactly. Stephen, Huntsville, Alabama. Stephen, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, George, for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And I can't wait to get your bookmark.
Thank you, Stephen.
I have two questions. I recently read a book called Directive Destiny by J. Michael Franklin. And if I understand the premise of the book, it's that before we were people, we were angels. And after we die, we go back to being angels. And I don't know if that means all of us or just some of us, but do you think this could be true? And if so, why become human? I mean, human is not, it'd be worse than being angels. And if it's not true, then since our souls are eternal or immortal, then where do you think they were before we were born?
Okay, with all due respect to that author, I respectfully disagree. Angels exist, but they're a separate species. Angels were never people. People were never angels. So human spirits are a completely different frequency, if you will. And from what I've seen is human and angelic entities seem to work quite harmoniously on the other side. So when we die, we don't turn into an angel. And I know that I'm not alone in that belief, but there are some people that would tend to disagree with me because, you know, we're dealing with infinity and we're trying to understand infinity through a finite set of eyes. Now, your question before is, if souls always existed and will exist, where will they go? Once again, and that's a great question, we're trying to understand infinity through a finite set of equipment. So we may know that the universe is expanding and is into infinity, but we can't really grasp that. And I explained this in very great detail in Evidence of Eternity, and it would require a lot more time than we've got in this segment for me to do that. But I think those are excellent questions. And the thing is, the path to all knowledge begins with this statement, I don't know.
And that is honest. Rick in Brentwood, California, you're up with us on the air. Rick, go ahead. You there, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
There you go. Sure thing.
Yeah, I'd like to share with the Coast to Coast viewers an amazing experience that I had.
Sure.
Remember, have you ever heard of Dr. Newman? He's a healer.
You're breaking up a little bit. I didn't hear that.
Have you ever heard of Dr. Newman?
Dr. Newman. I have not.
Hey, what?
No, that's not going to work. Rick, try to get a better line. Sorry. My gosh, I would have loved to hear that story.
I know. I was hearing him say who's coming in and out. So hopefully Rick will get you back.
Tony in Detroit, you're up with us. Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I had two experiences with synchronicity. One was with my grandmother via my mother, who also has passed. She had an experience where she was watching a PBS program, and he was describing butterflies visiting a loved one to impart
like somebody would die and a butterfly would show up?
Like the butterfly landed on her hand and it was with Wayne Dyer was on PBS, and he was saying that was a suggestion that her spirit was okay and the butterfly landed on her hand.
Yeah, he has said that on our show before, Tony. And Mark, have you ever heard of symbols like that from the dead?
Yes, I don't believe that a person turns into a butterfly to come to you. However, what I do believe is that spirits are capable of directing the attention of some life forms, like butterflies or even birds, and somebody will notice those all the time. People that tell me after a loved one died, they always seem to find, you know, a particular coin, maybe a dime or a nickel or something like that. They always find that. And I don't necessarily think that the spirit is causing that dime to materialize there so much as they are directing our attention to that. So that really is a very good question. It's all about directing energy.
Sometimes, though, the departed one, let's say, had a coin collection or, you know, whatever, and you would see that, and it would be like a tie-in, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, because they know that that's going to resonate with you and make that association. I was doing a reading for a client, and her son had come through, and I said, well, I keep seeing pure silver dollars. Does that make sense? She goes, no, not at all. I go, are you sure? She says, well, not with my son, but with my father-in-law. He collected pure silver dollars, and he died 3 weeks ago. So what was going on is, even though we were communicating with her son, the spirit of her father-in-law, who was her son's grandfather, was attempting to come into the reading. So it is not unusual for a spirit to direct someone's attention, direct their energy to something which will resonate with that person and make them think of that person. That's what I call a frequency beacon. I think I mentioned that earlier in the show, and that's one of the theories that I've developed in Evidence of Eternity.
Allie is a truck driving in Alabama. Hello, Allie. Go ahead.
Hi there. I am so happy that I got through.
Great.
It is time for me to talk to you guys. Mark Anthony, George, hi. This is my first time ever calling.
Well, super.
Answers for you.
Okay.
What caught my attention? I'm a truck driver. What caught my attention was, what is that white light when you make your transition over? And this book, I don't know if you've ever heard of this book. It's called RAMTHA, RAMTHA.
Yep, sure do.
Okay. In that book, it tells you that when you do make your transition over, it is your white light that shines through, because we are all light beings. You're pure positive energy. In the book,
sure,
it also says, it explains what God is, how God was created, what happens to us when we make our transition over. It talks about the seven planes. Jesus talks about the seven mansions in the Bible.
Right.
It tells you that when you pass over, whatever your attitudes are about your life experiences, where it depends on what level of spiritual development you have grown to, depends on what plane you go to. The seventh.
Oh, you're going to love, you are going to love my book, Evidence of Eternity. If you
I
like
know.
That, you're going to absolutely
right
love Evidence
point.
Of Eternity. Right on point, yes. Yes, we are light beings. Even Albert Einstein said we are all light beings because light's energy. And that's what I was talking about earlier, that on a cellular level, it is believed now that we have photons in our cells. In other words, light exists in a cellular level on us, and all the way, the great connection in the universe, all the way to God is the light. And I like to say that we are all cells in the body of God. So I think that you will definitely find a lot of resonance in as an Evidence of Eternity.
Let's take one or two more calls. We have Brian in Warrensburg, Missouri. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Hey, Mark, I want to know your take on a lot of religion talks about heaven and hell and how, you know, our decisions in this life have influence on where we go or what happens in the afterlife. I want to know what your take is on that.
Absolutely. For every, all right, science and faith, the law of karma, everything you do comes back to you. That's what the Buddhists and the Hindus believe. Christians believe in the, and it's in the book of Galatians, whatever a man shall sow, he shall reap. Physics teaches us for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Everything we do has repercussions. As an attorney, I have seen so many guilty people slide through the system. And you think, how can someone that has done these despicable things get away with it? Well, the truth of the matter is they don't. The other side has many levels. In fact, one of the chapters in Evidence of Eternity is the levels of the other side. And then there's another chapter entitled Reincarnation, the Justice and Balance of God. So the fact is, you need to listen to not you, but I mean everybody needs to listen to what Jesus said. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And Buddha said, do not do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. So, you know, we're seeing in all the major religions, there is a golden rule. Keep your actions positive because there is going to be an equal and opposite reaction.
Mark Anthony with us, his book, Evidence of Eternity, and you can go to his website, which is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com because of his little book tour that he's going to undertake. So make sure if you're in a city where he's going to show up, you pop up and say hi to him. Up next, we go searching for Atlantis.